3, 2, 1, and we are live. What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 19 of Grunt Talk. I have my special guest here, of course, Jamie. What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
What's going on, guys? Hello.
So, first time coming to this podcast. A lot of people, I reached out to you for that reason. I love being able to interview people who served, whether or not, whatever they did in the branch of service that they served. Everybody has such a unique story, especially once you serve, it gives us such a unique platform to go. So let's start from the beginning, brother. You just recently got out, right? About a couple years ago?
Yeah, I got out in 2016.
And
say that again?
What branch? And then what age did you actually join?
Oh, okay. I joined whenever I was 18, and I stayed in for 11 years, and I got out in 2016.
Gotcha. Quick reference, I joined when I was 17, 2010, got out right at 2014. So the last kind of little push of everything else. Oh, that's awesome, brother.
Oh, nice.
Where were you stationed most of the time? Here locally or?
Oh, man, they put me... West Coast. My first tour was in Diego Garcia for a year, and then after that I went to a carrier in Bremerton, Washington, and then I went to shore duty in Oak Harbor, Washington, and then while I was on shore duty they sent me on deployment to Afghanistan, and then after Yeah, I know, right? And then after that, I went to Lemoore, California for sea duty again. And that's whenever I became a pro bodybuilder. And I decided to get out at my 11-year mark and pursue that.
Wow. One thing that made me want to interview you is I forgot how I started following you. You know how social media is, brother. Like,
yeah,
slowly you'll start following people how it is. But I think one of my friends had met you in LA as you were competing before you were actual full pro. And he's like, dude, you should follow this guy since you love like fluidity. People know me for fluidity when it comes to bodybuilding. So I was like, oh, cool. And dude, I was a fan right away. And
oh, thanks.
For me, what was hard, I don't know how you did it, brother. Serving as well, I don't know how you were able to still serve and bodybuild. For me, that was super. I never even thought about it. It was so hard. How hard was that about?
Well, I mean, it really wasn't hard for me, just because I loved it so much. I was always about the gym. I was always about some type of sport. So if I wasn't in the gym after work, I was either getting ready for like a flag football game or a soccer game. There was always some type of sports events going on within the Navy, so they kept us pretty active. And I was ill at that, so my job was to lift bombs. So it was frowned upon to be the weakest one in the group or the weakest link in the chain, because then you're holding everybody back. So it really motivated me to not only become physically fit as a human being, become the strongest link for my team at work. Because it's glorified in the AO world.
And for me, ranking, of course, I'm coming from the Army. And yours, what was your actual like rank as soon as you got out?
E5.
Gotcha. When you first got in, I love asking everybody, especially since you serve, because everybody's so different. Having your sports background, honestly, bro, how hard was actually basic for you?
The actual... isn't that hard, but what was really challenging was getting into the mindset of being told what to do and following orders to a T and not really thinking for yourself anymore, but thinking for the group or the bigger picture or the Navy in general. So it was really hard for me to over from a civilian to the military. But I did. But that would be the hardest part. Everything else is pretty much fun. I enjoyed the runs and everything.
Was it more of like, all right, I gotta check myself? I know some people, because I had brothers of mine too in the army, they're like, they're great. It's just they that was the little thing that they're fucking up on, you know, just taking the orders. And they even said it themselves. How long did it take you to basic to like, all right, I'll listen now.
Oh man, well, I think it was for me, I got the hint while I was in boot camp. I know that things are going to be a whole lot more easier for me if I just do what I'm told, and that's what I did. Everything I try to do to the best of my ability, and that's what down to the fleet. I carried that same attitude and really quick. With I remember like I was saying I ain't gonna clean any walls or nothing when I go out to the fleet, and sure enough, that was like the first thing I did, man. They made me clean the bulkhead or the walls, man. So it was a reality check for sure, military.
It's so funny to hear that, because I think a lot of times that people don't realize who've never served, right? And try to relate to everybody. Everybody usually has a family member who has served, and it's really usually hard to kind of connect with them, because the little things that me and you don't take for granted because we served, it's little things that normal people, of course, like, oh, it's not a big deal, like that, where it's so funny how, going back at it now, I'm like, God damn, man. Yeah, I remember. All right, all this fucking trash, you gotta take it out. Reynoso, you're in charge. I'm like, damn, really? The beaner has to be in charge of all this stuff? All right, that's fucked up.
That's
But
funny.
it was such a brotherhood of it. Just it was so funny how even small things like that could be such a brotherhood. One thing I wanted to talk to you was, how was that experience for you coming from, of course, where you were born and raised, and going to that military structure? Did you feel like a bond right away? I know some people do and some people don't. Sometimes coming out of the shell, if they're not used to being talking to people, was that pretty easy for you, or was it something that you had to slowly get to?
For me, it was I guess it would be I had to, how can I say this? Whenever I first joined went to Diego Garcia, I remember just being really quiet, and that's whenever I was an E1, and I didn't want to ruffle any feathers. I just wanted to do what I was told. So that was kind of my mindset going into any new job or duty station. Just kind of get the feel of everything before I start showing who I am. But I first show them that, hey, I'll work. If anything, I'll work. And the Navy is like, if you're a worker, then they won't fuck with you. But if you're a shitbag or if you don't work, then they're gonna fuck with you. So I learned very, very early in the Navy. You know what I mean? So once I got used to everybody, and I got the feel of the atmosphere, then I was able to open up a little bit more and more. But I was pretty much to myself with work, and then after I got out of work, I would, go to the gym, or I had a family at the time. So I had to do whatever my wife wanted to do. Then I had to go to the gym. So,
Gotcha.
yep, I was told what to do in the Navy and when I went home, bro. It was ridiculous.
going on there, that's a subject that I think a lot of people don't realize. You know, is it, I get all the time where, I mean, you see behind me, bro, I just work at a supplement shop. A lot of people would just ask me, you know, they're getting ready to go to the military. And one of the big things, like, oh, do you, what is your advice on, get in a relationship, or should I not start a relationship in the military? I, for me, myself, I personally didn't, just because I knew I was thinking 20 years, nah, I ain't gonna come back. And, if it happens down the road, it happens down the road. But was that an easy transition going into there? I know you were married it going into there right away. Was that difficult at first?
Yeah, I would say it was difficult for me because whenever I first went into the Navy, my mindset was just hook up with females, you know what I mean? And just do my thing, all over the world. That was kind of my mindset at 17, 18. Like, man, y'all's gonna pay me to travel the world, and there's gonna be females there too. So I was loving it. And then I went out and I saw how lonely things got. And that's whenever I wanted to talk to my high school sweetheart, which is now, well, was then my wife, but now the mother of my children. But that was the thing for me. I wanted that comfort and that constant connection, because whenever you are in the military and you are on these deployments, so you're away from home, it gets pretty lonely out there. Being young, a young male at least, you really don't know that that's going to be coming. And if you come from a home to where you're used to, seeing family and friends or the people you want to see all the time, and then whenever it gets cut from you, you want to try to make it to where it's always there. So for me, I decided to get married, so I knew that I would have somebody on the other end of that email. I have somebody thinking about me, and it just gave me that warm feeling, that warm, secure feeling as a young man in the military. And I think that's why a lot of, at least for the men, that's why they get married. One, because it gets lonely, and two, because they encourage it in the military. And I say that because once you do get a significant other or a spouse, they get all you get all these military benefits, as well as they're able to get on base without hassle free. So they make it very alluring, very attractive to get married as a young male. Like, they're going to pay you more, and things are going to be a little bit more easier for you and your family. So that, I think, I can't have a thought or my idea behind it is, once you do get married and you're in there for a while and you realize you don't want to be married anymore, you're stuck in this marriage. It's this piece of paper. And I think that once you are married, you are going to be more, probably you're going to be having kids. And once you have kids, there comes that reassurance that you're probably going to re-enlist into the military. That's that reinsurance right there. At least that's what made me stay in for 11 years, and that's child support. And I think that's how they get people, man. I've been thinking about that for so long, bro. For so long, they get, I don't want to say trapped because it's your family, but trapped. Yeah. And I'm not jaded. I just my hypothesis towards the whole marriage and being 18 and able to do it in the military, but you can't drink at 18, just doesn't make any sense to me. But that's what happens whenever you get out and you just start thinking about things, I guess.
It's so crazy, but so true, and you hit it right on the head. And being married myself now and having my two twin daughters, it's crazy to see that. Looking back, exactly how you explained it, I was like, "Fuck, you just described like 15 of my fucking brothers in the military." So I get you. The biggest thing that you hit on was the loneliness. That is something that I experienced right away. Exactly where you're coming from. A loving family, you're used to having the loud noise. You come home, it's you guys are usually up late, depending on how your family is, of course. It's you have that warmness all the time, and it's such a culture shock to, like myself, I was stationed in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. So being born in Cali, San Diego, 2,000 miles away, not knowing anybody, you don't know how lonely you are until, all right, don't drink and drive this weekend, see you Monday, and you're like, well,
What
I don't got
the
a
fuck am I
car.
supposed to do now?
Yeah, I don't got a car. I can't drink.
Yeah.
What am I gonna do? And this is before Lyft was actually even a thing. So it was more taxis. And even then, taxis are like, well, fuck, you're in a lower grade, so you weren't getting paid shit anyways. So
Yeah.
you're like,
You wasn't
fuck,
making
man.
anything. Might as
No.
well get an Xbox and go to
And
the barracks.
that's what it
That's all you
was,
can do, right?
seriously. So it's crazy that
Yeah.
you're able to hit that really good. And I think a lot of people, that's a good topic that I think people miss going into there, where the loneliness, right, is something that's super real that people don't take for granted. Like, they take it for granted is what I'm saying. And when you said that, I was like, fuck, I got a flashback of when I was first there. I was like, fuck, you did that. Ah, oh, you got me. I remember that. I remember that shit.
It is lonely, man. Like
Yeah.
driving around wanting to just give people rides just because you ain't gonna do anything that entire weekend. Like, I got you, bro. I'll give you a ride anywhere you need. You even got to pay for gas money. I got you.
Oh
Yeah,
my
like, I remember those
goodness. Oh, I
days.
still remember that. Fast forward,
Yeah.
as you were going into your military career, how fast? I know you're 11 years and everything. When did you start noticing, like, all right, 11 years, not gonna reenlist, maybe reenlist. At that time frame, going as you were for a pro, going to bodybuilding, was it already a transition you were already kind of making? Like, all right, I'm done. Like, it's simple. Or was it something that you really had to think about?
No. At the time, I became a pro, and I think I still had like a year left in the military. And I was getting treated so good already, as a pro. It was like I had sponsors that were paying me. I was getting flown out to New York City and different parts of the nation just to do photo shoots. And this is while I was in the military, so it really wasn't a big decision for me to, or a hard decision for me to think of, once I got out. But I mean, it was scary. I mean, hell, I joined in when I was 18. I had a guaranteed paycheck every 1st and 15th for 11 years. So to say that I'd be getting out and not be stressed out, I would be lying. So I had to ensure that a lot of things were in place before I got out. And one of those things was ensuring that my GI Bill and everything was going to be good to go, because that was going to be a guaranteed paycheck for me as long as I go to school. And that was a really good stepping stone for me to get out of the military, is that GI Bill. And I think what a lot of people who are on the fence about getting out is they forget that. They forget that they're gonna pay you to apply yourself and go to school. And that's the thing. If you're just not lazy and you apply yourself, you're gonna get that check, and all you have to do is be frugal with your money, and you could live alone on that GI Bill for 3 years, you know what I mean, if you play your cards right. So I think that's just a lot of what it is, just misinformation that people have when coming to that time of getting out. I think that if they were just sit down and really look at their finances and not get so tripped out, that they would more than likely be leaning towards getting out. But talking to my friends and talking to the people who I served with who are still in, who still can't get out because they get hung up on that scare. Understand it. So, and I guess that my biggest thing is just to look into the your finances, your GI Bill, and ensure that you always have that paycheck coming for the next 12 months before you start making any big decisions, especially if you have a family, you know what I mean? So that would be my takeaway.
Going on to that, because you make it such a good point, as you transition out, at least for the Army, when I transitioned out with a couple of buddies, I actually got it early to use the GI Bill. They were able to let me get out like 6 months early off of my year, so I got out super early. Yeah, I found a little fucking loophole. So I took advantage of it. Me and my two buddies did that. what was the hardest thing for me was, I think since I was seven, math that I did or anything like that was right before then. Was that a struggle going right away to school? Because I went to more of a trade school, like art school. I got my bachelor's in graphic mm-hmm. web design. So even that, you know, I was using computers, but I'm a grunt, bro. I wasn't doing like typical, always doing coordination stuff. No, none of that. Was it hard for you to just like kind of be in that structure again, or was it simple? For me, I'm not gonna lie, it was, fuck, this is a little challenging. I don't know if you're able to hear that question. All good, all good. Were you able to hear that question before I kind of...
I know. I caught a little bit of it and I forgot the question while I was connecting.
Was it hard for you? Yeah, no worries. Was it hard for you transitioning like right to school?
Absolutely.
For
me,
like, I didn't do... Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I actually bailed out and I had to... I was going to the University of Phoenix. But I was a pro as well, and I was getting paid by sponsors, and I was winning shows. So I was like, I don't need school. So I basically, like, I kept on failing class. I think I failed two classes. I got put on probation to where I couldn't go back to school for, like, a whole fucking year or something like that. And I was like, well, I'll just bodybuilding. And then I wasn't, and life started to hit me. I was like, well, how am I supposed to get this money? And rent was coming up due and shit. I had to make things happen. And that's whenever I really got invested into personal training and really applying myself within my own business. And on top of that, I got tired of just hustling so hard. I went back to school, but I went to X-ray tech school. Funny thing about that is, though, I was a great X-ray tech. And it was 2 months prior to me graduating. I was already in clinical where I was out at a hospital doing x-rays. Well, the school lost accreditation. And
oh, damn.
Yeah, everybody who was going at the time just lost everything. You know, just poof. And then I was like, because I came home after working like hella late at a clinical. Like I was doing all the x-rays by the dude. And I went home and my girl at the time, she was like, hey, I got bad news. And I was like, what? She was like, your school like lost accreditation. There's no more x-ray tech. I was like,
damn.
What? She was like, I didn't even get mad. I actually laughed. And because I saw it as, you know, to really focus on personal training, my fitness and bodybuilding, you know, because I really, really, really tried to just not do the bodybuilding route and do school and focus on that. And, you know, I kind of got it taken away from me. And it forced me to apply myself even more and double down within fitness and bodybuilding. And after my probation was up within school, I got back into the University of Phoenix. I'm a straight A student and I'm about to graduate in 2 months with my bachelor's.
Congrats, bro. Congrats.
Thanks, man.
It's funny how like I don't religious or not, brother, but I see everything now, how life has happened, as, you know, it's more of God's way of telling me, like, yo, this is, I know this is the easier path. This is the way it's supposed to go. But trust me, I'm going to take you on this route, even though it may take maybe a year or two, maybe even 3 years. but it is going to be the best option for you. And everything in life that happens now, I'm so thankful that I see that bigger picture. And
I'm
like a blessing to you, brother. Sounds like he has to say no to you too.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And we definitely help. But seeing the bigger picture and understanding that, all I have to do is just really ride the wave. And like I said, the weed helps with riding that wave, as well as fitness.
Fitness. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm telling you, man, it's universe was looking out for me with that as well, man, because I every day. So I know that if I would have even tried it in the Navy, I would have got kicked out for it, me doing it all the time. But I never even tried. I never even touched it. I was never even around in the military, man. I was such a paranoid. I had so bad paranoia, man, in the military. So I didn't do steroids. I didn't do weed. I didn't do shit, man. I was straight up like 100 in the Navy, you know. They didn't get me for nothing, man.
it's good though, because it just helps you, you know, in longevity terms, you're able to really just enjoy life that much more now that you have your actual own freedom. So I always see it as, even in that sense, I have military brothers, exact same thing that you were saying earlier, you know, they feel stuck, like I gotta stay in here because of that, you know, that paycheck. Mm-hmm. And granted, yes, their family's taken very care of with the military and the DOT, but I tell them, like, dude, I'm happier. I love the military, I love the men I serve with, but I'm so much happier and I wouldn't change it. And if I stayed in, I would have never met my wife, I would have never had my twins. So I, you know, I loved what I did, but same time, it all comes a full circle.
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother.
So transitioning out, right? You got out, about to graduate, love it. What's the newest thing for you? I saw that you just competed. Congrats on that, brother, stepping back on stage. What's the new thing? I know you're making a good amount of noise. I don't know if people who don't know you, of course, who don't follow you. Generation Iron is definitely hitting up your stories of being all natural and roughing a lot of feathers, which is good. I think it brings such great excitement to the sport, and it's also you get to call out the fake shit motherfuckers who are like, like, motherfucker, you ain't shit. Come on. How is that? You know, I've seen your stories all the time, bro. I know you love the feedback that you get from people. I love that. How has that been? Like, did you ever picture yourself like, damn, I didn't think I was gonna ruffle this much?
I knew I was going to ruffle some feathers, and I think that, I knew I was going to ruffle feathers. I just knew I was going to get this big, and it's just going to be getting bigger the more I compete. It's something internally that I felt. How outwardly speaking about steroids is how I felt whenever I was first in the gym, whenever I wasn't on steroids, and I was hype about steroids because I got my pro card natty, and I just didn't understand. So everything that I'm saying now, I inherently, internally felt that years ago. So I kind of take it as like my mission, my calling from God, to go against the grain of the normalization of steroids, you know what I mean? Because there is no one, well, I can't say literally no one competing that's talking against it. So that's where I am now, at least with my message with don't take steroids, you know what I mean? And be natural, you know?
I love it, man. It's such a great message, and it's what I fucking love, you're kind of similar to me, is the ruffles that you get and the people want to talk shit. And it doesn't really fucking faze you. It's just like, motherfucker, this ain't shit, dude. I can do this all day. Like, I love the comments. I love literally going through your page. And I die laughing at your responses, bro. It's just
that's awesome shit. To know, man. Because I'm laughing when I'm writing it. And I'm thinking that, like, people are going to love this. I know they are. I'm glad you said that, man.
it's so fucking funny. Yeah. It's too many people, I think, who respond, right? They use response to people. They take it so personal, and it's so the hate of that person is like this, and then you see them reply with something even 10 times more hateful. I'm like, I'm going to respond in a funny-ass way. Like, it's not going to
bother me. Yeah. and I think that the more, type of attention I get like this, the more light is getting shed on the fact that steroid use is huge within the industry. It's not good for the, next generation of male and females coming up, and humanity in general, and for them running our society in the future, I want them to be clear-headed and not on sauce, because when you get on sauce, you get so fixated on the gym and not other things like life, you know what I mean? And like I said, I have to be the messenger, but the example, and you got to lead by example. So gotta do it. Somebody has to do it.
One topic I definitely wanted to talk to you about, because you hit it on one of your stories. I don't know if it's still on your Instagram page. I haven't checked if it was, but you definitely gave your review of this. Is something I think a lot of people I've seen with my military brothers who have PTSD issues. How that kind of affected you taking steroids, how it messed with you a little bit more. How was that experience? Like, going and seeing the difference, and then once you're done, like, wow, I was such a different person.
Oh, yeah. It was a mental prison. It was, like, did well because I lived and already having PTSD. You're already getting freaked out and already having thoughts that aren't normal thoughts that you're thinking that are real or legitimately good to follow, but in reality that whenever you take steroids, it intensifies that by like a fucking 100. And whenever I was coming home, I was paranoid that my girl at the time was plotting to kill me. It was getting like crazy like that. I was getting so impulsive that when people were acting crazy on the road, I would hop out of my car in LA to see the problem. And that's pretty dangerous to do in LA because people get shot nowadays. And I'm the littlest person, so people aren't just going to deal with me. They're just going to shame them. I was just a loose cannon and constantly in my own head. And with the losing, whenever I lost, and I would get like sixth or fifth place or something like that, something that's very respectable, And I would just shoot more steroids in my ass and just do more dangerous things, you know what I mean? Just because I was so fixated on my body, what people, well as what was going on in my head, and just following those impulses, that's what really made me, say no to steroids. I was getting so impulsive and following through with those impulses, I could have definitely went to prison, killed somebody, or killed myself very easily. I'd have been dead by now. So I guess that's one of the reasons why I was so jaded coming back into bodybuilding, because I had to deal with all that shit mentally and no one told me about it. No one said, I know you're taking this PTSD medicine, so watch out for this. Like, nah, none of that was happening, you know what I mean? And I saw myself as, a trophy for others and my health was at stake, and that really made me upset. You know what I mean? Not only with people that associated with me doing the stuff, but also the industry I was doing it for. You know, so I had a lot of aggression in my system, but I see that the more I'm competing and the more I'm being cool and message about, you know, not doing steroids, and you're able to do this naturally, and you're gonna appreciate it a lot more, and it's the longevity of it is unparalleled to that of taking steroids. My message is getting across. You know, I even had pros come up to me while I was at the show asking, "Am I completely natural?" And I'm saying, "Yeah." In their mind, I can see that rat racing in their head, like thinking, like, maybe I can. I see other pros that are on my Instagram that are appreciating what I'm doing, and they're looking at going natural as well. So I know my message is getting across, it's getting louder, and I love the fact that I know what my mission is, and a lot of people don't. And it's the fun part about life is understanding what your mission is. Everybody has a mission. It's just you got to figure it out. And I'm happy and blessed to know what mine is.
I love it, man. Damn, that's it's definitely an area, right, that people aren't comfortable with. A lot of people don't realize, you know, those are two such toxic things of, you know, PTSD stuff, and then, you know, the male masculinity, of course, of just bodybuilding in general, can be such a disastrous thing for people. And it's great to see, man, that you were able to turn that to such a positive thing, because unfortunately, yeah, a lot of our brothers, I'm not too sure if you've had some, but I know a lot of my brothers, just from PTSD alone, just why I got that tattoo of, you know, I got your six, PTSD awareness. Mm-hmm. Many of my brothers, I've been to more funerals than birthdays than I would like.
Sucks, man.
And I'm happy that your transition, I could kind of see it when you'd post regularly. You can see you were, but you weren't happy. Mm-hmm. You didn't look happy prior to that. And you definitely seem a lot happier.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, man, you seem like right on the thing. So what is, before I let you go, brother, let everybody know, what is the next show you're doing? I know you got a couple lined up. Let them know where you can follow you on Instagram. Kind of, this is like your piece to have people hit you up and everything.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, my next show is going to be in Utah, Salt Lake City. And then my next show after that will be in Pittsburgh. And that's all going to be in April. You can follow me on Instagram at King LaRoyce, and stay natty, you know. I promise you'll appreciate yourself more. Your future self will appreciate yourself more. You know what I mean? We all gotta look at our future selves, and that's my thought.
Well, it was definitely a pleasure, brother. Thank you so much for taking some time off
your day. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Definitely, as everything clears up, we'll definitely want to do. I'm slowly going to transition back to in-persons. I was doing in-persons a while. I've been trying to get this with you for a minute now.
Oh, yeah,
this is the easiest way to do right now. So thank you so much, bro, for joining, man. We definitely got to do a part two in the future. But thank you so much, man.
Absolutely, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. Have a good one, man.
You too.
Later. Bro.